This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? We're going to discuss that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, there are many mysteries in our minds when we begin to think of you and our relationship with you. We sometimes ponder some of those questions that we do not have human answers for. But we pray that as the psalmist of old finally decided if there was an answer, and there was, that you were the one who had to give it to him. So we pray today that in your holy word, you will answer that same question for us. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The psalmist was having a great deal of difficulty with this question, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? So he deals with this in Psalm 73, from whence our text comes today. Let me read you just two verses from this part of God's Word. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Jesus.
Friends in Christ, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? This is one of the most common questions asked today, especially when we talk about God being loving, but also being just. It was not only the psalmist's question, it is our question, but for a few moments, let's try to follow the psalmist in what he writes to us in the 73rd Psalm. There is no question that he was struggling with the blessings of the wicked and the torture of the righteous. And so we discuss this in our struggle today, for we are often afflicted in the same way. The psalmist begins by saying, "Surely God is good." Nobody would question that, he said. I don't doubt that for a moment. When you look around and see the marvelous creation that he has given us to live in, we see the gifts that God has given to us. We can understand all of these blessings that have come from a loving Heavenly Father. But the problem that we have is, how can a God bless those who are so wicked and almost permit the curses to come to those who are so righteous? They prosper. That was the first point that the psalmist made. The Living Bible says, and he puts it in kind of earthy terms, but I think it gets a point. This is a quote from the Living Bible. "Those fat cats have everything their hearts could wish for. They scoff at God, and they threaten his people." Now, there's a problem in language that you and I can understand. These are so-called the wicked who are prospering while the righteous are suffering. He goes on to say they not only have wealth, extreme wealth, but they have no health problems. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. While this is going on with them, the good people are experiencing bad health, premature death, and all kinds of problems. Just take a look at it in our own society. How often we find a person who has lived with the Lord Jesus, as far as a human being can understand, and not only belongs to the church, but is faithful in his or her commitment to the Savior. And suddenly, this individual at a very, very early age is taken with cancer, for example, or with a premature heart attack. While some of the others who have lived the most unrighteous life, who have dissipated their bodies and have not lived the kind of a life that even some of the worst people would say is the right way to live, live on and on and on and on. Why is that? How can that be? Then there are those who are so righteous that they are arrogant. These wicked people sometimes exaggerate their own worth or their self-importance. They'll say, "Look at what I have brought myself to be. See how I have applied myself. I worked hard. I didn't goof off. You ought to have seen this farm when I bought it. And now look at it today, not only one section, but probably two sections." The psalmist says their pride sparkles like a jeweled necklace. All of this causes the righteous people to be confused. And it is easy to see that the psalmist was beginning to be pretty bitter. When he considered all these things, he just didn't understand it. And he was asking the question, does God realize what is going on? Maybe he was even getting to the point of saying, maybe I don't need to have anything to do with this God anymore. I have kept my heart pure. I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. My health is not good. I hardly have enough to live on. And I am a righteous person. I know what it is to live in a personal relationship with God. But this is getting the best of me. The psalmist goes on to say, when I tried to understand this, to make sense out of all of this, it was oppressive to me. Yes, it was hard to understand. In fact, he couldn't understand it, and neither can you or me, by our own strength. And so he nearly stumbled, and some people of our day have stumbled to the place that they will tell you if this is the God that is supposed to be loving and merciful and still just, then I don't understand him, and I've had enough of this religion bit. I recall a lady saying to me many years ago, I lost my husband 25 years ago, and I haven't stepped my foot inside of a church since then. I can't understand God. My husband was a faithful member of the church. He served on the board of trustees. He was a good contributor to the church. We were in church nearly every Sunday. In fact, we helped to start a church. And then suddenly he is taken from me. I've had all of these lonesome years. We had common friends that we often did things with socially. These people were nice people, but they had no time for God. They didn't belong to a church. Sometimes they would scoff at religion. And they'd say on a Saturday night when we were out having a good time, why do you have to go in now? Because we go to church on Sunday. And they'd say, well, if you could only cut that out, we could all enjoy Saturday nights just a little bit better. That's the way that it goes. And that bitterness keeps standing there until the people find themselves estranged from God. This woman was not only estranged from God, she had gone away from the church. And that's the first step. That's not nearly as serious as going away from God, though I don't know how you separate the two. Well, the psalmist says, I struggled with this. I can identify with you who live in the 21st century, the struggles that you are having. They're no different for you than they were for people in every single age. But let me give you the answer. When I was at my lowest, when I did not know which way to turn, then I decided that I had better talk with God. So he says in verse 17 of our text, I did not know what was going on until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Now, what is the sanctuary of God? The sanctuary is, as I understand this, is where he's alone with God, and he's pouring out his heart, and he's saying, God, these are my anxieties, these are my concerns. I can't understand how you, a righteous God, can treat the righteous as you do and let the wicked go on. He was pretty point blank with him in that sanctuary, but then God gave him the understanding of the wicked's destiny as compared to the believer's destiny, and there is a real difference. So in the sanctuary, I can't help but believe, on the basis of what other scripture has taught us, that God had to have a talk with this psalmist. And I think he probably said something to him like this. You know, you've talked about yourself as being so righteous, living in righteousness before me. Well, I want you to know There is no one who is righteous, and you aren't righteous. You too are a sinner. You too have transgressed my laws. You too would be lost if it were not for my redemptive plan. Who do you think you are? Are you so pious simply because you have been a faithful one that you don't want to think there's anything wrong in you? Do I owe you anything? Haven't I given you everything that you need? I've given you material possessions. I've given you promises. I've given you the promise that I would walk with you. Just think of the promise that I've given you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can't you just hear that God speaking to that psalmist as he's trying to show him, before I can help you, I've got to show you who you are, a sinner completely relying on my grace. And let not forget, God goes on to say to the psalmist of old and to you and to me today who sometimes present ourselves as rather pious and nice and on the right side of God, look, I gave you my son. And on the cross, he suffered and died for your sins. And there he took them all away so that you can be restored into fellowship with God. And the only way that you can be declared righteous is through your faith in Jesus Christ alone. For without Christ, you are in your sin. And with your sin, you are in the presence of God as wicked as anyone else. Now, why do I think, or why do I know better, that this is what God said to that psalmist in the sanctuary? It's because another psalmist in Psalm 143, 2 says, no one living is righteous before God. That's what God's word is saying. St. Paul, writing to the Roman congregation in chapter 3, verse 10, quotes the Old Testament and says, there is no one righteous, not even one. So, let's say that there is no one righteous. The wicked may appear to be worse than we are as far as the world is concerned. But in God's eyes, we are all in need of a Savior. But if you want to know about the wicked, he could have said, he did say, for it's in our text today, if you want to know about them and what faces them, then let me tell you. You see, they are to be pitied. Yeah, they have all of their material possessions. By the way, God, I think, would have said to him, just remember this, that a people who have a lot of possessions are not necessarily wicked. But there are many who are. And there are many who have gotten this possession of theirs in ways that are not pleasing to God. But their beautiful, handsome, pain-free bodies will last them for only a little while. You remember St. Paul's referring to the body as a tent? He said, and when the tent is destroyed, then we have a building from God. That's a new body, which will be given to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But those beautiful bodies that you see as far as some people are concerned, the good health that many are blessed with, all the other material gifts, they too shall vanish. Their places of prestige will be gone. For when we cross over to the other side, when we have breathed the last breath, and there we stand before God in eternity, whether we are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, churched or unchurched, there is only one important question that must be answered, and that is, what have you done with Christ? For my friend, without him, you are lost. but with him, the blessings that have accompanied us while we were here on this earth. The blessings of hearing him say in our hours when it has been very difficult, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Those hours will be over, but we'll be with him. We will be with him in the heavenly home, and there we shall live forever and ever, all questions being answered. But without him, we are lost. That's very, very important for Christians. I say Christians who live in the 21st century, we need to learn. We don't have all of the answers. We have enough answers to satisfy us. But why the wicked are being blessed and the righteous sometimes have to suffer? That is evidently is not for us to know. But this we do know, that trusting in Jesus Christ, when that eternal state comes, then we are his forever. Just remember, what the human mind cannot always understand, faith can comprehend. While I might not understand how justice works on this earth in the 21st century, this I can know in faith, that those who trust the Savior are his forevermore. God grant that some of the questions that are so disturbing to us while we walk on this earth will not throw us out of a relationship with God, but draw us closer to him as we enter the sanctuary. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your good word. Grant, O God, that we may have the faith to accept it and to realize that at times we have to go far beyond what our human minds can understand and just trust what you have said in your word. Today, O God, we once more pray for those who wrestle with the faith. Grant to them the Holy Spirit's power to confess their sins and to place their faith in Jesus Christ, and then to have the joy of this abundant life while they are here, and eternal life when these days are over. Thanks for your goodness and your love towards us, for we know that you are not only merciful, but righteous. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. A nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders, is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. These donations enable Christian Crusaders to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to more than 1 million persons each week. Your gifts and your prayers for this program are deeply appreciated. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are also available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, celebrating 70 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.